following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Penguin Mysteries. I'm your host, DJ Traumatized, and each week we'll uncover the secrets, mysteries, and dark tales lurking beneath that California surface. Get ready to explore the unexpected that will leave you on the edge of your seat. Stay tuned because the truth is stranger than fiction. Guys, it's DJ Traumatized, and I want to welcome you to my episode 4. And today we'll be talking one of the most notorious crime cases to ever come out of Los Angeles, California, which is the O.J. Simpson murder case of 1994. This case struck massive media attention. The former football star O.J. Simpson was accused of a brutal murder of his ex-wives, Nicole Brown Simpson and her friend Ron Goldman, in June of 1994. The killing took place at Nicole's home in Brentwood, Los Angeles, and was particularly shocking due to Simpson's high profile in both sports and entertainment. The crime and investigation, the case drew massive media attention. I mean, everyone knew about this case. One of the most watched cases in history, y'all. Especially after Simpson led a police on a famous slow-speed chase through Los Angeles in a white Ford Bronco. Evidence including a bloody glove, the notorious glove, found at Simpson's property suggested his involvement. But his legal team, led by famed defense attorney John Cochran, argued that the evidence was planted by the LAPD. The ensuing trial, often called the trial of the century, became a media circus. The defense is, it doesn't fit. And that was a quote that will last for centuries. So today, that is what we'll be talking about. I will give you the backstory. I will give you all the details, and I will give you my personal opinion on the case to this day. This case is still heavily talked about, even in the year of 2024. This case is very present in a lot of people's lives. It's very often referred to in the true crime podcast space. And so, yeah, let's get right into it, guys. O.J. Simpson's early life. In childhood, Simpson grew up in a very modest working-class family in San Francisco. His mother, Eunice Simpson, was a hospital worker, and his father, Jimmy Simpson, was a cook who struggled with alcoholism and abandoned his family when O.J. was just a toddler. Eunice raised O.J. and his siblings on her own, facing financial hardships but providing a very stable home. Simpson had a difficult time in his early years, often getting into a lot of trouble, as most kids do. He was a shy, overweight child, and he struggled with his image. His mother enrolled him in a youth program to help him build his confidence up, and when he began to develop an interest in sports, by the time he reached high school, he had transformed into the most athletic powerhouse in his district, excelling in multiple sports, but especially in football. And O.J. Simpson attended the University of Southern California, USC, after high school. Simpson attended USC, where he played college football for the USC Trojans under coach John McKay. During his college career, he earned national attention for his explosive running style and remarkable athleticism. He was a standout player, winning the most prestigious Heisman Trophy in 1968 as the best college football player in the country. Simpson was a dominant force on that field, leading USC to the national championships in 1967 and solidifying his place as one of the top football players in the nation. His college success earned him a reputation as one of the most promising talents in the sport, and by the time he graduated, he was considered a top pick for the NFL draft. In 1969, O.J. Simpson was drafted by the Buffalo Bills as the first overall pick in the NFL draft. His entry into the NFL marked the beginning of what would become a groundbreaking career. Simpson played for the Bills from 1969 to 1977, and through his life, years were inconsistent. He eventually became one of the most electrifying and effective running backs in NFL history. The 2,000-yard session in 1973, Simpson had one of the most remarkable individual seasons in NFL history, running for 2,003 yards in a single season, becoming the first player to break this 2,000-yard mark in a single season, a record that stood for years. This incredible feat solidified Simpson's place in football history and eventually earned him the NFL MVP award that year. During his career, Simpson was selected for 6 Pro Bowls and became a beloved figure in the sport. swirled. His playing style was characterized by his speed, agility, and very most importantly, his ability to make elusive moves, earning him the nickname The Juice. He was also known for his charisma off the field, making him the favorite media appearance and endorsements. Beyond football, Simpson became a popular figure advertising, notable for his endorsement deals with major brands like Hertz Rental Cars. His famous commercials where he was seen running through the airport terminals, gleefully avoiding obstacles and adding to his appeal as a clean-cut, charming athlete. Simpson's persona was one of the most affordability and charisma, making his name a household name, even outside the world of sports. Everyone knew his name. Margaret Whitley, from 1967 and 1979, was Simpson's first marriage. Was married to her as a child, his childhood sweetheart. They had three children together, Arnelli, Jason, and Aaron. However, the marriage ended in divorce, unfortunately, in 1979. After a tumultuous relationship, Simpson's time with Whitley was reportedly marked by infidelity as well as struggles with maintaining a stable family life. Now, his most famous second wife, Nicole Brown, 1985 up to 1992. In 1977, Simpson met Nicole Brown, a 18-year-old woman who worked as a waitress in Beverly Hills nightclub. Their relationship became publicly shortly after Simpson's divorce with Margarita. Simpson and Nicole married in 1985, and they had two children together, Sydney and Justin. However, their relationship was deeply troubled with multiple reports of domestic violence, abuse, and turmoil. Nicole's family and friends later revealed that Simpson had been abusive to her during the marriage. Despite this, she stayed with him for many years. Their marriage ended in a highly publicized divorce in 1992 after Nicole had filed multiple police reports against Simpson for domestic abuse. Despite the divorce, Simpson and Nicole remained in contact for years, and he reportedly continued to harbor feelings for her at the time of her murder, that they had been separated but were in ongoing communication. So I'm going to shift you towards the timeline events of which the murder happened, which was June 12th of 1994. I'm going to refer to it as the night of the murders. On the night of June 12th, 1994, Nicole Brown Simpson, 35, and her friend Rod Goldman, 25, were brutally murdered outside of Nicole's condo in Brentwood neighborhood of Los Angeles. Nicole's body was found slashed and stabbed multiple times, and Rod Goldman was found nearby, also murdered in a similar fashion. The crime scene was scary and horrific, and with evidence suggesting a violent struggle. Nicole had defense wounds, and both victims appeared to have been attacked quickly, ferociously, and with a bloody glove found at the scene. And a second glove was discovered later at O.J. Simpson's estate. June 13th, 1994, O.J. became one of the key suspects in the case. Discovery of the bodies of Nicole and Ron were discovered the morning of June 13th. The LAPD began an investigation, and with hours, O.J. Simpson became a primary suspect due to his past relationships with Nicole and his known history of domestic violence. O.J.'s whereabouts later that day. Simpson was supposed to turn himself in for questioning, but instead he became the subject of a dramatic police chase. Simpson was not at his home when the police arrived, and by the evening he was considered a fugitive. June 17, 1994, the infamous police chase. Now, as I referenced earlier in my intro, O.J. Simpson was in a Bronco chase along with his friend Al Cowling, was spotted driving a white Ford Bronco through Los Angeles in so slow speed police chase. The chase was broadcast on live television, drawing in millions and millions upon viewers. Simpson, in the passenger seat, held a gun to his head during the chase, leading many to fear he was suicidal. The chase ended in arrest at Simpson's home, where he surrendered to the police without incident. June 20th, 1994, O.J. Simpson was charged. Simpson was formally charged with the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Rod Goldman. The evidence, including the bloody gloves, Simpson's DNA, and other forensic clues, seemed to point to him as the killer. But later, from July 1994 to January 1995, the pretrial began and the public attention amassed. The case quickly became a media sensation, with news outlets covering every detail of the investigation. Simpson's personal life and the LAPD's handling of the case. Simpson's lawyer, including the famous John Cochran and Robert Shapiro and F. Liebrat Bailey, prepared to defend him, with Center to unclaim that the LAPD had planted evidence and mishandled this case. The Dream Team. O.J. Simpson assembled what he called a dream team of high-profile defense attorneys, including Cochran, Shapiro, Bailey, and others who will later become famous for their roles in this case. January 1995 to October 1995. The Trial of the Century. Opening statements. The trial began on January 24th, 1995, and lasted for more than 8 months. The prosecution, led by Marcia Clark and Christopher Darden, argued that Simpson was guilty, presenting multiple evidence, and they included DNA samples matching Simpson's bloody found at the crime of the scene and his home. They also presented the infamous glove at Simpson's house. And this donned the quote, "If it doesn't fit, you must acquit." One of the most famous moments in the trial came when Simpson was asked to try on the bloody glove at the crime scene. The glove appeared too small for Simpson's hand, and defense attorney John Cochran used this as a moment to argue that the evidence had been planted by the police. And then that spawned the line, "If it doesn't fit, you must acquit." It became a rallying cry for the defense. The LAPD's handling of evidence. The defense teams also attacked the LAPD for alleged mishandling of evidence, particularly the blood samples that seemed to have been improperly stored and processed. Cochran's defense argued that the LAPD had framed Simpson due to racial prejudice. Race was heavily influenced by racial dynamics. Simpson, an African-American, has been a beloved public figure, but the case highlighted issues of police brutality and racial tensions in Los Angeles, particularly in the wake of Rodney King's riots in 1992. The defense that the LAPD, led by Detective Mark Furman, who had a history of making racist remarks, that had framed Simpson for the murders. October 3rd, 1995. This would give us the verdict. After 9 very long months of testimony and deliberations, the jury had reached a verdict. On October 3rd, 1995, O.J. Simpson was acquitted of all criminal charges in dramatic courtroom moment. The verdict sparked celebrations among Simpson's supporters and outrage from others, particularly the Coles family and many white Americans who believed he was guilty. Let's get a little bit into the aftermath of after all of this took place. Though Simpson was acquitted in criminal case in 1997, a civil court found him liable for the wrongful deaths of Nicole Brown Simpson and Rod Gomez. He was ordered to pay $33.5 million in damages to the families of the victims, though Simpson has never fully paid the amount. And in his left public perception, he's left with a lasting impact on his career and with many people who still debate to this day, even in 2024, whether Simpson actually committed these crimes or not. Some believe that the verdict was influenced more by racial tensions and the trial media circus more than the actual evidence. Simpson's later life post-trial has been marred by legal issues. In 2007, he was arrested for armed robbery and kidnapping in Las Vegas, for which he was convicted for and sentenced to 33 years in prison, and he was released on parole in 2017. And that is the case of O.J. Simpson. This case is one that has drawn a lot of attention. I wasn't even born around the time. I was born later, and I still knew of this case. It was a very heavy topic. I feel like everyone and their mom talked about this for years after the case. And a lot of people to this day still debate. It's been a lot of talking points in movies. He's very heavily referenced in a lot of movies around that time. They do like make jokes about it, unfortunately, but yeah, this case was very popular, and I did want to talk about it because I know this is one of the cases, and I heavily focus on true crime in California, and I was like, I can't do true crime in California without making mention of O.J. Simpson. Now, I have done cases that are out of California, but I heavily focus on California. And this case is one I really want to bring to the table, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I'll see you guys for the next one, where we'll begin interviewing other people on true crime. I'm really excited for you guys to hear it. Like I always say, I'm DJ Traumatized, and stay traumatized.